This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Today I'm talking to Georgina Robinson from Juniper Studios. Georgina creates bespoke keepsakes, gifts and decor. She has a passion for treasuring the small things in life and she prides herself on sustainability and crafting keepsakes for families to look back on and treasure for generations to come. Georgina and I spoke a lot about her products, her inspiration, and as always this is a really useful and interesting episode. So I'd love now to introduce you to Georgina. So hi, Georgina. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Can we start by you please giving an introduction to yourself, your business and what you create and sell?
Yeah, sure. So I am Georgina. I am a mum of one and my business kind of started really, my product business kind of started after having our little girl. But I'm a graphic designer by trade. I used to do freelance graphic design essentially, and then now have moved into a product business, so Juniper Studio. And I started out by doing illustrations, but now have branched out into kind of personalized keepsakes, gifts, birth announcements, things like that really.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I haven't honed my elevator pitch yet, can you tell?
You don't need it. You know what, it takes time and it will change as well, so it will change and evolve. No, but that's great. And I had a look at your website and I absolutely love the drawings you do from people's photographs. I think I don't know if drawings is the right word, apologies if I use the wrong terms now and again, but they're really lovely.
that's what I started with really. So after having our little girl, sort of 6 months, she was about 6 months old, and I just thought, oh, I need something to kind of get my mind back ticking back into kind of design. And I was always just planning to go back to doing freelance design really. I started doing these illustrations. They were picked up by Not on the High Street, and it kind of just went from there really. And then I just got to the point where I realized that I'm not able to scale really that business because it relies on me and my time completely. So then chose to kind of make the leap and make an investment in some machinery to be able to create more personalized rather than bespoke stuff. And then that's where I am now really. But yeah, the illustrations was the start of everything. So portraits, house portraits, pet portraits, anything.
And how did you get picked up by Not on the High Street? How did that come about?
So it was a friend of mine who used to work for them, and she said, oh, you should just go for it. And I kind of dropped them a message and they were like, yeah, apply. And then I went through the application process and first time got accepted. And I was like, this was like in my 5-year plan was get on Not on the High Street. So, and I did it within about 3 months. So I was freaking out a little bit. It's gone from there really with being in a few of their campaigns. So they selected me to be in a Mother's Valentine's campaign last year, Christmas campaign. And that's when it goes really nuts. But yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. And was that with your bespoke illustrations or with the more personalized products?
So that was when I was just doing the illustrations. And then I'm putting more and more, I've kind of sort of left Not on the High Street really ticking along with the illustrations. Just from a commission perspective, there's a lot less margin in the personalized items. So it can be quite tricky with the amount of commission that they do take on sales. So I've got a few things on there that do quite well on the personalized side of stuff, but I have left it a lot with the illustrations, to be honest, on Not on the High Street.
Yeah, I've never sold on Not on the High Street myself, but I've heard that the commission is quite high.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm allowed to say, so I don't know.
No, I don't know either. So I'm purposely not asking you because I don't know if you're allowed to say, and I would rather not ask, not put you in that position. But I've heard it's quite high, yeah. And I guess it makes sense that it's not sort of margins as such because you're creating the products yourself. But I guess for things that maybe take a little while and don't have a very high price, it possibly isn't worth, not want to say isn't worth it, you know what I mean, I guess it might not work as well for you as selling that same product on your website or on Instagram.
Exactly. I mean, so taking into account like the cost of wood and then rising cost of electricity with the machinery and then cost of postage and packaging, once you do all that, and then I would have to put the personalized stuff on Not on the High Street at a different price point basically. So it's just weighing up whether to do that or not and making those decisions or taking a bit of a hit on margin. But with the costs of everything at the moment going a bit crazy, I just need to review everything constantly. And it's just a bit exhausting to have them on so many different platforms. So the bulk of my sales come from my Shopify site and I drive them from Instagram. And a little bit of Pinterest when I get the time and PR when I get the time. I've just gone onto Etsy as well, actually, basically just to use their IOSS number to ship abroad, to take a little bit of the admin out of it. So having to update listings and pricing and all these things on all different platforms when it's the business is still just me at the moment. So it's just, yeah. Part of it's an admin time issue, but yeah, part of it's a margins issue.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense when you talk about the time and managing listings, because obviously the products that you produce take your time as well.
Yeah, so it's a way up between actually setting time aside, like to say, actually, this is an admin day or this is a marketing day, like creating content, doing product photography. I still do most of all of that myself. I occasionally outsource photography, or I'm very lucky to have some lovely relationships with some fantastic content creators on Instagram who I either pay to create content or they create content in return for gifts for their children. So that can take some time off my plate. But yeah, and then obviously the orders come in, and then the more marketing you do, the more orders come in, and then it's a perpetuating cycle, but a nice one to have, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm guessing that the very bespoke orders, so the illustrations, probably take a fair bit of time. I'm not asking you to tell me how long they take, but I mean, I'm assuming they do take more time than, say, a personalized product. So I guess, am I right in thinking that for your personalized products, the basis of the product is there, and then you're adding the personalization to it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the bespoke illustrations definitely take longer. And the time, I guess, in the personalized stuff is in the initial design process, although it still does take time. So some businesses that produce similar items to myself will not sand them, for example, afterwards, because they prefer the look of a burn, or they just decide that actually this is how our product's going to be. I hand sand every single item just because that's how I want mine to look and that's how I want to present mine. Hand pack everything, everything's checked, everything. Yeah, so it's still quite time consuming, the personalized stuff, but yeah, definitely less than the bespoke illustrations.
And how do you manage sort of all of the various jobs you have to do in terms of keeping on top of listings and marketing and creating and producing products and packing? Do you have some sort of schedule for that, or is it fitting it in as when you can?
I should have a schedule, I think. I did some sessions with a coach last year, and we did speak about sort of setting time aside for things and stuff like that, but no, I've kind of fallen back into bad habits with that. But basically our daughter is in nursery 3 days a week. I can't do the making and packing orders with her around. She's 2.5. It's just not No, I've tried. It's not possible. So I tend to, in nursery days, I'll have meetings like this one or with clients, because I still do design work as well, and do all the things that I can't do when she's around. And then I tend to do the more admin stuff in the evenings, to be honest. It's definitely not a 9-to-5 gig, this.
No, it's a lot to juggle, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of parts to think about. If you don't mind going backwards a little bit, I'd love to talk about sort of how you got started creating the illustrations. You mentioned you started illustrating after your daughter was born, and I know that your background obviously was in graphic design.
Yeah.
So just be really good to talk about how and why you started with the illustrations and how it sort of grew into a business.
Yeah, so it was just fun, really. My husband bought me an iPad Pro and an Apple Pencil for my birthday. And I just started playing around, drawing things for family, for friends, for ourselves, and just sort of showing people and drawing friends' families or whatever. And they'd be like, you should probably sell these, like, give it a go. So being from a design and web design background, I thought, I'll stick a website up and take some photos and put them on Instagram and see what happens. Like, the investment wasn't huge for me because I could do it all myself, and I was on maternity anyway, so it sort of was a bit of an activity to just kind of keep my brain ticking over that I was really loving. So I stuck them out there, and yeah, they just kind of started to sell. People started to follow me on Instagram and say that they liked them and share them with friends, and yeah, and it just kind of organically went from there, really. And then, like I say, Not on the High Street came about, and I think it was Valentine's Day last year that it really went a bit crazy, and because I was in the campaign, and that was the point at which I was like, I need to change this business, because I can't physically draw any more than I have done this month, and that peak income is not gonna be enough long term. So that was when I kind of made the decision to move into personalized.
I was about to ask about that decision, so thank you for explaining that. And yeah, and I think that definitely makes sense, because as you say, when you're doing things that rely on your time, I guess there's only so many hours you've got. You can't double the hours you have in a day or a week.
Yeah, especially with limits of childcare as well. That's definitely a big player in the decision, but also the fact that with the personalized products, as a designer, I can still design those, but longer term, probably, hopefully by the end of this year, I could have people working for me that can change the name and create the product to my specifications of how I've been doing it, with me still doing the initial design. So it doesn't rely completely every single product on me designing, making, drawing. So yeah, much more scalable.
Yeah, that does make sense, because you're right. I think there definitely would be parts of the process you could start to outsource further along. So can you actually explain that, you could, your personalized products a bit for people who, obviously, because I've had a look at your website, and I'm hoping that everyone listening is going to go and look at your website, but for anyone who hasn't done so yet, can you just explain a bit about your personalized products and what they consist of?
Yeah, so most of them are engraved plywood with different designs, so a lot are around new babies, pregnancy announcements, gender announcements, birth announcements, but then a lot of seasonal stuff as well. So at Christmas, personalized Santa Stop Here signs, so again engraved onto wood or cut out of acrylic and stuck onto wood, or but just very minimal design. And what else? Things like Santa's magic key with the name of the child and name of the house. And then this Easter, I've got personalized Easter baskets. I don't know. I need to refine this.
No, no, that's good. Thank you. I just think it gives people a really clear idea of what we're talking about. And when you talk about perhaps, you know, it's something down the line that somebody else could put the name on, for example, you know, you've done all the prep work and then somebody else can actually, yeah, put the names on for you or whatever it was. I think it gets, yes, helps give people an idea of.
Yeah, sure. Of what we have a laser engraving machine. And it's essentially printing onto wood, but using laser instead of ink. So it burns into the wood, or it can cut acrylic, it can engrave acrylic. But to be honest, I try and keep it with wood just because it's more, it's a more sustainable, renewable material. Although when I do use acrylic, I use a company called Greencast, and their acrylic is made completely of 100% recycled materials. So, it's better. But yeah,
thank you. And since we've just touched on sustainability, I'd love if you could also talk to us a bit about your sustainability policy, because when I read through it, it seems to me that you've put so much thought into that. So I think it'd be really nice if you could just share how you came up with it and what it means for your business.
Yeah, I think policy is a bit too much of a grown-up word for anything in my business at the moment, to be honest. But yeah, for sure. It's just, I think the essence of it is just thoughtfulness and intention. So making sure at the basic level, it's trying to source raw materials sustainably. So all the wood we use is FSC certified and sustainably sourced. All packaging is plastic free and recyclable, and hopefully made from, where possible, made from recycled materials as well. And it's hard sometimes with suppliers where you have to buy something from them because it's specialist and it will come in plastic, or it will contain plastic, or it will contain something that's not recyclable or compostable. And that's why I took the decision to actually plant a tree for every item in every order, to hopefully offset some of that. Some of that environmental impact that my business inevitably has. So even just down to shipping, like, it's fuel, there's an environmental impact of that. And the other side of it is just being intentional with my design, so not putting years on things so things can be reused in years to come, not making something so on trend that it will be obsolete in 3 months or a year or 2 years. It's something that a family can keep and cherish, and if not, if it comes to the point where that the kid doesn't believe in Santa anymore or something, and they don't need it, they pop it in a memory box or they can recycle it. So it's not going to leave a lasting impact on the planet. It's just about intention and thoughtfulness is the crux of it, to be honest.
I think that's great. And I think you're right as well that there are things you obviously can control and then there are the things you can't control. And I was really intrigued about you planting a tree for every order, because I guess that kind of offsets some of what you can't control. How are you, I mean, I'm assuming you're not physically planting trees yourself, how are you actually managing that?
No, so my my garden is not full of trees. So there are a number of platforms actually you can use, and if you have a Shopify site, I don't know about others, but if you have a Shopify site, you can integrate with a number of different platforms. I use Tree Nation, Ecology are another one, where actually your order is fed through and a tree is automatically planted, and you can go through and see where it's been planted. There's pictures of where it's been planted, you can comment on it, you can, and it keeps basically your forest but it's obviously not one forest, but and you can, as a customer, they can go and comment on it, and yeah, it's a nice thing for the customer to see, but that's not the point of it for me. It's not a sales spiel. I don't think I even advertise the fact that I do it that much. It's for me, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think that makes it, I think, even more authentic. And you're right, I mean, I only found it because I found it somewhere on your website, but obviously I was trawling and, you know,
you were snooping,
but you're right, it was definitely wasn't front and center, it wasn't on the homepage. I didn't just see, come across it, you know, I was having a good look. But I think that's amazing. I had no idea that was a Shopify integration. I'm a big fan of Shopify. I think it's brilliant for e-commerce, and it sounds like some of the integrations are just getting better and better, really, because I guess that's something that a few years ago, had you wanted to plant a tree for every order, let's say, that's something that actually could have been quite a lot more admin for you, and potentially, because it sounds like you've got loads on your plate, it could have been sort of a reason not to do it, because it could have been quite a lot of work. But it sounds like they make it so easy, which is, yeah, I'm really impressed actually by that.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot more platforms than the two I've mentioned, and they just are an app or an integration or something with Shopify. So you should just be able to, pull your order straight through into them and it automatically does it. So there's no excuse not to.
See, I know I'm easy. I think I am easily impressed, but that is one of the most interesting things I've heard this whole week. I think that's I think that's really, really good. And
it's all right. There's still time. It's only Thursday.
I just love that, because I love anything that makes things simple, and I'm really impressed by that. You can probably tell. I will try and find a link for that actually that I can put into the show notes. If there's anyone else selling on Shopify that thinks, oh, I'd quite like to do that, then people can go and look into it. And I'm assuming, and this is an assumption because I don't know, I only just found out this existed, but I'm assuming there are probably other integrations if people, I don't know, want to take plastic out of the ocean rather than plant a tree, that kind of thing. I'm imagining there are other integrations that
I'm sure there are. Yeah, I haven't looked into others, but there's, I mean, with Shopify, there's an app for everything.
Yes, there definitely is. So I think anyone who's interested, I'd definitely encourage to go and look at what the options are out there, because I'm sure there will be lots, because I mean lots of more businesses are thinking about ways of becoming more sustainable and giving back. So I think it's,
so then on that topic, I think the main thing for me is there's a lot more that you need to do before you just go and install an app to plant a tree or to do whatever. Like if you're putting it in your Instagram bio, you probably need to take more steps before you do that. Like, it's not a sales tool, it should just be something that you're doing that's authentic to your business and your values. Like, stop the non-plastic packaging doesn't cost exponentially more than plastic packaging, and so many businesses still use plastic and things. Like, there's a lot more steps than just sticking an app on and letting people know that you plant a tree. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. See, I guess I was almost coming at it from the other way, which is I was thinking that you don't even have to necessarily tell people you're doing it if it's something you feel you want to do. So when I was selling products, I'm not anymore, I used to use recyclable packaging. So my own boxes were from recycled paper, and they were recyclable, obviously, because they were cardboard.
Yeah.
And then the packaging I sent things out to people in looked like plastic, but wasn't. I think it was cane or something.
Yeah. There's lots of different options, aren't there? Yeah,
but I never actually spoke about that. I realized in hindsight it was just something I did, but it wasn't kind of, it was something I did because I believed in it, but I also didn't feel it was something that was a core part of my business that I was talking about.
Yeah,
that makes sense. So I think you're right. I think that because I mean, I think there are lots of us who do things like this in our, who help out in little ways in our personal life or for our business. So I guess it's up to people to think about what they want to do and how they want to do it, and if they want to talk about it, and if so, how they want to talk about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. Because I obviously have it on my site that it's sustainable and things like that. That's essentially it. If it helps sell things, wonderful, but that's not the reason behind it. And is actually hopefully to make my customers think about it themselves as well.
Yeah, and actually I'm actually starting to feel like it, then we may come to a point where doing our bit for the planet as business owners isn't necessarily a marketing or a sales tool, because it will just be expected. It would just be what everyone, I like to think that we get to the point where actually it's kind of a given that you wouldn't use unnecessary plastic, or you would give back in some way. I feel like it's moving more in that direction. More and more businesses that I look at are doing their bit in different ways, and some are talking about it very openly, and some you don't find out until you look into them. I think that I do wonder if it is going to get to the point where actually it's just what businesses do.
It's just what happens. Yeah. And that's what it should be. So like, actually an example is I saw someone I worked with previously, a photographer, post some pictures of some products from a brand that she'd been sent to photograph, and each of them was in a plastic wallet. And I was thinking, there's just no need for it. Like, you could probably even actually save yourself money by not having each product packaged in plastic as well. So it's not even a fact of, it's just not, I can't afford to do it, or it's, yeah. And I think, I hope that people are being more conscious of that. So they might see that and think, actually, I'm not going to buy that because I could buy it from here when it's not in plastic. And especially with items for my daughter and for your kids, like, you want to choose for that item to be here when they're an adult. You don't want it to forced upon you. Like, yeah, I don't know if I'm not explaining that very well, but considering the environmental impact of things we buy for our children is considering our children's future.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. When I liked when you were talking about your products and about how you were saying they're not too timely or trendy, because I think that is a big thing nowadays. So when I was selling my own brand of baby products, my products were deliberately designed to last and to not be too, to not have very, they'd have sort of a little bit of branding, but sort of, so I, for example, one product I sold were bamboo bowls, and there was like a logo on the bottom of the bowl, and the whole rest of it just looked like a beautiful bowl, because I mean, I still use them in my home now. My kids are grown up, but we as adults use them because they're big and you can eat the cereal out of them. They just feel nice and they look nice. I like bamboo. And that was kind of the idea, to not create a range of plastic children's plates and bowls. Because I mean, we had all of that, but my children now have grown out of those, and we were given them, and we did have these IKEA ones, and now it's just like, well, what do I do with these? Because, you know, my kids have outgrown them, but they're actually not usable. And of course, you can pass them on, but I much prefer the thought of products that have a bit of longevity.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously children are going to outgrow some things, but I think there are definitely certain items, like gift items or home items, that you kind of want to be able to have for years and
not
date so much.
Or even if it is something that they grow out of, it's something that you would want to keep and just say, actually, I'm going to pop this aside, because when you're 30, you're going to want to look at that. So for example, milestone plaques or things like that, obviously they have a finite time. So if you use it when a baby is 3 months to take a photo, but also you pop them in a memory box, and maybe they might want to use it with their kids, or you pass it to a family member to use with their baby, and then you've got pictures of all your babies with the same thing, and you can compare sizes and look back on photos and pick out the thing, and that's actually a tangible thing that your mum, that might no longer be with you, gave to you. And it's just the essence of that kind of thing is, my mum was big into memory boxes, or is big into memory boxes, and we've got boxes of stuff that I love leafing through and thinking, oh, look at that, like, newsletter I wrote when I was in school. And I just love the idea of someone keeping something and passing it down and reusing it. And yeah,
that is lovely, and I agree. I think that's, I'm really big into memory boxes as well, and
yeah,
I think my kids probably now just think, why is she hoarding all these birthday cards? Or like, yeah, I had the little, like, I am one little plaque and things. They probably think I'm nuts. And my husband certainly isn't keen on me taking up all the space. But one day they will love looking through those. I'm convinced of it. They'll be so pleased that I kept all of it.
Because
I don't have that much that my mum kept when I was young. And I, you know, have bits and pieces. But, you know, there are certain things you look back with fondness and you think, oh, it would be really lovely to have that, because, you know, your own children would like it, or to use in your own family, your own home.
Yeah.
I think it's lovely. And I think, as you say, the gifts you're creating, because I'm assuming most of them probably are gifting items. They are nice keepsakes.
Yeah. I think I always, like you said, I always used to look at my mum and like, why are you putting my 25 meter swimming badge in a box? Like, but now as a 30-year-old, I'm like, oh, actually, that's actually really nice. So yeah, it's, yeah, keepsakes is my vibe, and 100% I'm passionate about that and keeping and passing on. And I mean, as a parent, you inevitably end up with your house full of plastic stuff, because either people give it to you or you buy it because you hope it might give you 5 minutes peace. But that doesn't have to be the end of it. Like, there's loads of Facebook sites around here that you can put stuff on and pass down to people with younger babies or kids in the area. And I think there's loads of different new ways always coming up of ways to reuse things that aren't necessarily staying in your family either.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of that as well. Like, nothing in this house really goes in the bin, you know, because I think there'll always be someone who will need that very thing that you don't need anymore. And yeah, because sometimes I look at the amount of plastic toys and things and just think, oh gosh. But you know, they're eventually, when my children are finished with them, I know someone else's children will enjoy them, whether that's in a home or in a nursery or wherever, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's very different to very, very different to basically just wrapping something in plastic to be thrown away. Like, two very different types of plastic, which hopefully one day we'll be gone and we'll all play with wooden toys, but I don't think that's achievable anytime soon. So
I don't, although I do hope we get to the point where not all toys come wrapped in plastic with lots of plastic ties that take, you know, all this unnecessary, you know, all this unnecessary wrapping something up in plastic ties to a piece of cardboard that then you can't recycle because it's covered in tape. And I'm hoping that we start moving on. I don't think plastic toys are going away. No. I don't know, we're getting a little bit off topic, but I do hope the bigger companies sort of also start looking at being a bit more sustainable in how they package their products, because I do think, like, it's small businesses that are leading the way. When I shop on Etsy, which I do a lot because I want to support small businesses, I would say 99% of things come in recyclable packaging and very minimal packaging as well, which is amazing. But that, you sometimes buy from a larger website and it almost inevitably comes in a plastic bag, for example.
Yeah, and there's no need for it, especially on bigger businesses. If small businesses can do it, big businesses can do it.
Yeah, this is one of my bugbears at the moment. Is I don't want to name the retailer, but there's a retailer who, if you buy clothes on, they come on a coat hanger wrapped in see-through plastic, I don't know what you call that, inside another plastic bag. And you, and like that coat hanger, I mean, you know, there's only so many coat hangers you need, and the plastic sort of wrapping it up to then put it in another plastic thing. I find this really frustrating. But
yeah, and most of the time these companies are companies that say they've got a plan of action to reduce their environmental impact, but still not.
No, and it does seem mostly to be small businesses leading the way, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have one final question for you, if that's okay, Georgina, which is, what would your number one piece of advice be for other product creators?
That's a really tough one, and I should have thought about it more before coming on this with you. I think it would just be to make sure you're still having fun with it. Make sure you're enjoying it, because I think that really does come across in, especially as a small business, when it tends to be one person or a few people doing everything. If you're not passionate about it and enjoying it and doing it for the right reasons, your content and marketing and reason isn't going to resonate with a customer. But also, it's got to be about your quality of life as well. Like, there's very few people that will choose to work if they didn't need to. But actually, I'm not making sense. Am I making sense?
You are making sense. I think you're right, because I think you need to enjoy it, because otherwise, like, it's a job. And I guess that a lot of us, if we didn't want to be doing what we were doing, would go and get a job. So you have that. I agree, you have to want to do it, because running a business isn't easy, and you know, you have to put in hours, maybe, you know, work more hours maybe you'd like to, and you know, the income might not always be where you want it to be. So I think you do have to have that reason to keep going, because it's hard. And I think if you're not enjoying it, then it's much harder to keep going when you have those hard days or weeks or months even.
I think that's what I'm getting at, basically, and just keep checking in with yourself and make sure that you are, because it's really stressful and it's really hard work, and the hours are actually way longer than if you're working for someone else. But obviously there's the huge perks of working for yourself and running your own business as well. But yeah, I think my biggest thing is just keep checking in with yourself and making sure you're still doing it for the right reasons and for you and your family. I guess it's not really a tip on how to get your product out there and sell it, but ultimately I think it actually is, because I think it does come through in small businesses as a whole when someone is genuinely enjoying and loving what they do.
I think so too, because I completely agree with you that if you are not enjoying it, then so I think this especially comes across on social media, because if you're finding it a struggle, you know, to post about what you're doing and what products you've got because you know you're not enjoying it or you're not excited about what you're creating, for example, I think that's very different to, you know, I like watching reels, people who like create things. It seems to be creative people do really good reels, and you can see that, you know, they're really loving what they're doing and they're enjoying the process, and that can really, when that comes across, it gives a different vibe, doesn't it, to when it feels more like marketing. And by the way, I personally do find marketing a bit of a chore. It's not one of my favorite things. So I'm not knocking anyone who finds it hard, because it's probably the thing I find the hardest is actually marketing.
I find it hard too. I definitely find it hard. I think it's not about finding the marketing specifically easier, fun, but just being in your business for the right reason will make everything easier.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to get at is I think that if you enjoy what you're doing and you enjoy what you're creating and you love your products, it does make that marketing, even if it might not make it easier, but it will feel slightly easier.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
I'm not articulating anything very well this morning, but that's what I think I'm trying to get at. I think it's fair to say that we're probably both agreed that everything's harder if you're not enjoying it. And I also would say that just because you're not enjoying it also doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't be doing it. You need to be thinking about ways to make your life easier. You know, because I think it's very easy. One thing I think that's quite common with small businesses is just get burnt out because you're doing too much. And I think that can be a good
everything
thing to take a step back.
100%. Yeah. And I think back to the marketing stuff, like when I get tagged in a photo and see my product being used to announce a newborn baby or being put in someone's nursery that they've lovingly created for their child, I think that just, if something like that gives you the buzz, then it's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that, yeah, I think it's really exciting seeing someone using something that you created. It's just lovely. Yes, and I think it's good, and I can tell you're both still really excited about what you're doing.
Yeah, I just feel really lucky to be able to do it, to be honest.
Yeah, because I guess as we've been talking a lot about how running your own business is hard, and it is, but there are definitely upsides as well, particularly I think if you've got a family. Well, from my personal experience, running my own business works well with having a family. That's not to say that I want to be working evenings and things like that, but on the other side, being able to sort of take your children to school and pick them up and sort of things to me.
And say, actually, my daughter's in a show on Tuesday at 11. I'm going to go to it. And just little things like that. My parents run their own business as we were growing up. They still do. And it's just, I think stuff like that is what I always knew that I needed to get to when I had a family. But yeah, I used to work in big corporates, and that was not my my jam at all.
And me neither, actually.
No, I'm not a corporate person at all.
Well, thank you so much for everything you've shared today, Georgina.
Thanks very much for having me. It's been really lovely to chat to you.
Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of this episode. If you enjoyed it, please do leave me a review. That really helps other people to find this podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and do tell your friends about it too if you think that they also might enjoy it. You can find me at vickyweinberg.com. There you'll find links to all of my social channels. You'll find lots more information, all of the past podcast episodes, and lots of free resources too. So again, that's vickyweinberg.com. Take care, have a good week, and see you next time. Hi, this is just a little note to say, if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.